Remember that guy, Sam Panionovich, used to do sports here on WGN Radio? Just found him in Las Vegas, where he works now. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hey, John. Do you still have any Trump shampoo left, by the way? I'm wondering that this morning.
When Sam was going out to Las Vegas for various business purposes, evidently also interviewing for a job, he stayed. Did you stay at the Trump Hotel?
No, I just swung in and got a bag of goodies for you. I know how much you love the president.
So I have Trump shampoo, Trump-branded cream rinse, Trump bars soap.
Well, what did you do, like find a maid's cart and steal stuff?
Yeah, I just hijacked it. I held her up at gunpoint.
So I had, that no, was like I, a wonderful
I
gift.
I went to the front desk and just said, look, I have a friend in Chicago who is a big Trump fan, and I would like to bring him a gift bag full of stuff. And they were very happy to compliment me, and They gave it all away, and I just brought it to you the next day. I think it was a Saturday. I brought it to you Saturday morning. The look on your face when I handed you that bag is priceless.
Well, at Christmas, when we all are exchanging gifts, somebody got that stuff at my house. So, you know, everybody put the presents in a pile, and then we played bingo, and whoever won got to pick a gift. Well, John and Brenda usually have pretty good gifts, so somebody grabbed my bag, and they got the Trump Hotel swag. It was very funny. So thank you again for that, Sam.
No problem.
So you leave, and Loyola becomes the darling basketball team in America. They're playing Michigan this weekend. What are the smart people saying about that? What are the odds, Mr. Odds Guy, on Loyola winning yet their fifth game in the tournament?
Yeah, so Loyola, they opened up here in Vegas as a six-point underdog, but the market has shifted in their favor, so the spread is now five. So the early money came in on Loyola. Michigan's now a five-point favorite, which means they have a 65% chance to win this game. But Loyola does not care about your math. They don't care about your probability because they've been underdogs four games in a row, and they've won every game, damn it. They've won four in a row. They've covered four in a row. And here they are in the final four. And here are some more numbers for you. Before the tournament, Loyola was 300-1 to win, which means $100 paid about 30 grand. Before the Sweet 16, they were 50-1 to win the title, which I texted you. They're 50-1 right now. With four teams left to win the championship right now, Loyola's odds are 8-1 to win the whole thing.
So a lot of, did people? I guess some people put money on Loyola at 300-1, huh?
I would imagine somebody did it. I do know that somebody came into the hotel where I worked at South Point, and they bet $1,000 on Loyola to win the region, just to go to the Final Four, and that paid out 75-1. So somebody won 75,000 on Loyola going to the tournament or going to the Final Four. And it's funny because I've been talking about it here on VSiN for weeks. I said, Loyola, don't sleep on Loyola. So I've been giving that pick out every game. Now, in my bracket, I didn't have Loyola going this far. But when I saw them play and hit the buzzer beater against Miami, I thought, I have to ride this out. I rode them against Tennessee. They win. Took them against Nevada. Took them against Kansas State. Now the problem is everybody at my studio and everybody here in Vegas is catching on, and now everybody's on Loyola. So the bandwagon has very little room left. It's such a great story. I mean, you know, they're the only team in the Final Four that isn't a power conference team. They're a mid-major. They're a small Jesuit school in Chicago. Everybody knows this is listening, of course. But out here, they're foreign to these people because they didn't know where Loyola was.
Does 5 points tell you anything, Sam?
I think 5 points tells me that it's going to be a pretty close game. You know, I think I respect the market move a lot, though. I mean, to go from plus six to plus five in about an hour is pretty telling. What that tells me is that somebody with a lot of money has a lot of faith in Loyola to keep this game close. And why wouldn't you think that? I mean, look at their schedule, John. They haven't lost since January 31st. I mean, that's going on 2 months. They haven't lost a basketball game. And a lot of their losses this year were without Clayton Custer, their rock, their heart and soul, their best player. He missed a handful of games, and Loyola lost a good amount of those games. But on the season, I mean, they're 32-5. They've been in every game. They haven't lost by more than five since December 16th. So they're in every game, and I think that's going to come through again on Saturday.
I don't know if this means or matters anything, but, you know, they're also in a very fortunate bracket, aren't they? That is, their region is the one that Virginia was the favorite, right? I mean, on the other side, you've got a Kansas or a Duke. You've got these one seeds battling it out, and two seeds and three seeds. And, you know, Virginia's probably rueing the day that they blew that first game because if Loyola can run the table on the region, Virginia must be thinking they could have two.
No, definitely. If you look at the bracket, Virginia, Arizona, Kentucky, Cincinnati, all those teams were, you know, in that bracket, and many people had those four teams as their champions of that region to go to the Final Four. Tennessee was the three seed. They did beat Tennessee, but, you know, to think Loyola would be here, like I said, the odds 75-1 that they were going to win the region in Las Vegas. And somebody felt pretty strongly about that. I didn't think they'd win the region, but now I'm going to ride this thing until it goes south. And there's no reason that I should turn. When you think of this group, though, too, I mean, you look at, you know, a team like Kentucky or a team like Duke, they have a lot of talent, but it's mostly freshmen and sophomores. Andre Jackson for Loyola is a senior. Custer's a junior. Towns a junior. Ingram a senior. Richardson a senior. And they don't rely on one player. I mean, somebody has hit the big shot. It's been a different person in all four games. So they don't rely on just one guy. It is the, you know, it's the epiphany of what team basketball is all about. That's what Loyola is. They share the sugar. They play through each other. And they guard the hell out of you. And this is team basketball at its highest point.
After Florida State lost to Michigan by 4 points, Dana Jacobson on the court interviewed the Florida State coach Leonard Hamilton. His guys had just lost the Seminoles by 4 to Michigan. He made some questionable coaching decisions in the last 90 seconds, and with 4 points difference and 13 seconds left, his guys opted not to foul. In essence, they conceded the game. And that had some people scratching their heads. 13 seconds, 4 points. It's two possessions. Maybe you could put the guys on the line. They miss. You come down, make a miracle shot. That does happen sometimes. But he didn't even give them the opportunity to explore that. So afterwards, she asks him this question. And this exchange is getting a lot of attention today.
Take me through the final seconds of this game. Why didn't you guys foul?
What are you talking about?
Down the stretch there, the end of the game, the final seconds, 11 seconds left down the clock.
Do you think that the game came down to the final seconds of the game?
I'm asking you, though, why that decision in the final seconds of the game?
The game was over.
You didn't think your guys could get back in it, put them on the line if they missed those shots?
I mean, but 15 seconds, what were we down?
Put them on the line, they miss a few shots.
He turns.
Coach, a four-point ball game. It's a question that the guys were asking at the end of our game. That's all I'm asking.
He turns his head to walk away. Then he comes back.
It didn't come down to that in your mind.
I thought they did a great job. They had a great
He's really ticked at that question. And then he gathers his wits, and he gives her the interview, and she asks sense. And then the rest of the interview was lovely. You know, it was just such a great dance. Two pros in a very heated moment, each of them having a fascinating conversation. I don't know. What was your take on that, Sam?
Well, my take was very inclined with what the spread was. You know what the point spread in the game was? Do you have any idea?
No.
4.5.
So what's your point about that?
So Florida State, if you had Florida State at +4.5, them not fouling made you a lot of money as opposed to them fouling. And if Michigan makes a free throw, that makes it 5. So that changes thousands and thousands of dollars here in Vegas. So that was my first thought. I would have fouled just from a perspective of somebody who's seen a lot of basketball, because you have to extend that game. I mean, you have to foul and put Michigan on the line here. But the conversation in Vegas is much different than it is in everywhere else, because the point spread was 4 or 4.5, and down by 4, he doesn't foul. So if you had Michigan -4.5, you lost. If you had Florida State +4.5, you won. And that was all predicated on what Leonard Hamilton did or didn't do.
And that's unfortunate for you, or fortunate for you, but you're not suggesting anything there, are you, Sam?
If Leonard Hamilton, maybe he had a Florida State ticket in his pocket. I don't know. I don't know how you don't foul there, because with 13 seconds left to go, that's an eternity with fouls.
And a lot of us hate that about basketball. It becomes this foul, walk down the end, shoot a free throw. We hate that, but it could. That was their only hope, and it can work, and he didn't even try. So she asked that question. It's the question. And she hung in there. She didn't get defensive. She just kept, you know, diligently plowing forward. And then he sort of gathered his wits about him. He's crushed. His kids just lost. And so then he finally gathers himself together, and he gives her the interview that he's got to give and doesn't want to. It was fascinating. But props to her for asking the right question, not making it about herself, and getting the answer. It was good TV, you know?
Definitely. No, that's the right question to ask. And I like that a journalist, Dana Jacobson, didn't bend, right? I mean, she stood firm, and she asked the right questions, and she she kept poking the bear, which is what you're supposed to do, because that's what we want to know. I wanted to know. I'm sure you wanted to know. If you watched that game as a fan, you wanted to know, why didn't Florida State foul? They're only down by four. There's double-digit seconds left. You know, 99.9% of coaches would have fouled there.
Nice to hear you, Sam Panionovich. If folks want to see you, how do they see you? Or are you on TV?
Yeah, it's a TV stream on our app. It's VSiN app. We're on the web, too, VSiN.com, but they can always listen on XM 204, Sirius XM 204. I'm actually going on in about an hour and 10 minutes, 2 o'clock here, Pacific time.
Nice to hear your voice, buddy. You stay well.
I'll see you soon. You don't know when it's coming, but I'll see you.
Was that a promise or a threat? That's a good thing, right?
That's a promise.
Okay, bye, Sam.